Good morning, everybody, and welcome to worship. It's great to come together and to praise God and to think about and absorb, I think was the word I was thinking this morning, absorb God's promises as we come and worship and praise. And we come with gratitude because we want to come and to worship. And I pray that it'll overflow into our everyday lives and that we would shine, each one of us, as a beacon of hope for all to see. Spent some time in the Psalms this week, and I just love the honesty of the psalmists as they go through life, and we may not face some of the things that they did, but just a couple of hand-picked verses. In Psalm 31, it says, "Be strong and let your heart take courage." And in case you wondered what we're talking about this morning, it's hope. So let's join together, sing our opening hymn number 467. Morning has broken. And it has. Hurrah. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father God, we come this morning and give you thanks and praise for this new morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Your word cries out. And Lord, as the sun shines through this morning, we thank you, Lord, that again it reminds us that your light shines in the darkness. Lord, we join together to worship, to bring our thanks and praise. Lord, we think about who you are to each one of us. And as we read your word this morning, we are reminded that you are our God of hope. Throughout your word, Lord, gives so many different names. And Lord, even if we just concentrate on one of them at a time, it could just take us all day, all week. But Lord, as we look through the words of the hymns that we'll be singing, we're reminded that you are our light, our strength, and our song, Lord. And may our song of praise continue way beyond this morning and into the week ahead. Lord, we thank you for your unchanging grace. We thank you that it is a free gift of grace to all who come to you in faith. We thank you for your gift of love and righteousness. Lord, we come and give thanks because we trust in Jesus' name, but not just his name, Lord, but all that he has done for each one of us. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the glorious resurrection. Lord, we thank you that through all that you have done for us, that we can have hope for our eternal future. Lord, we know that there are times when we don't do your will, when we say things that we shouldn't say, when we think things that we shouldn't, when we don't listen to you, Lord, and we go our own way. Lord, we perhaps try and think that we're not as bad as somebody else, but Lord, to you, sin is sin. And so we come this morning, Lord, to confess those times this week when we have not been all that we should have been for you. Lord, you look upon us, and Lord, you're sad when we do things that lead us from you. But Lord, that you're happy when we return back to you. Lord, there are times, perhaps this week, when things have challenged us and when we've perhaps felt unable to cope. Perhaps times when we felt weary, Lord, have just longed for rest. But Lord, as we read your word, we know that it is in your unchanging grace that each one of us can rest. Lord, as we think about your world, there is so much going on, and again, we sometimes perhaps feel totally overwhelmed. But your word, Lord, tells us that we stand on your promises. We stand steadfast and sure on your rock. God, you are our rock. And Lord, as we think about the world, we particularly pray this morning for the people of Tonga and surrounding islands, Lord, who were hit by the tsunami yesterday. Lord, we pray for those who have been affected, those businesses that have been destroyed, people's homes, and the fear and uncertainty, Lord, of what will come. Lord, we continue to pray for our government. Lord, we can't stand in condemnation because none of us are right in your eyes. But Lord, we do, as your word says, pray for them. Lord, you tell us that we should follow you and follow you alone. And that we should do the right thing, Lord, that which is right in your eyes. And so, Lord, I pray that those who have a voice again in Parliament, Lord, would stand firm on your promises. Lord, we think of those that are known to us who are unwell at this time, and we bring their names to you now in the silence. We think of those who are in hospital, Lord. And again, we think about them and bring their names to you. We think of those, Lord, who are struggling with COVID, whether they have the virus, Lord, or are family members, or, Lord, are working under strenuous conditions, trying to cope with the everyday strains of it. Lord, we pray for those unable to worship, not only with us, but wherever they are at this time, Lord, whether it be through illness, advanced age, persecution. Lord, as we have our church meeting tomorrow, we pray for this place here, our future as a place of worship and service to you. May you lead us and direct our paths. May we know, Lord, that we are following your way. Lord, your word is full of promises, and so, Lord, we remember that you are ours and we are yours, and that is the power on which we stand. Lord, we thank you for your love for each one of us and ask that you will bless this worship time now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we'll pray for our Sunday school as they leave to go into their class and their adventures this morning. To tell us what you've done later. Do you know what you're doing? Playing a game. Cool. So remember some of the questions and then ask this lot later.
Another
question. Go on
then.
Okay. Okay. Who is the biggest baddie in the Bible? Judas?
Herod.
Who was the last one?
Goliath.
Goliath. Okay, who was the biggest baddie in the... Do you know the answer?
No. You've got to be the majority answer.
Oh, the majority answer. Okay. So think about that and we'll find out what the majority says. Because otherwise you'll know the answer. Let's pray for them. Lord, we thank you for our young people this morning, Lord, and that we're all part of your family. Lord, I ask you that you would bless them as they come together, Lord, to learn more about you. Not only, Lord, that they would learn, but they could also teach us through their enthusiasm. And Lord, I just pray for their leaders. Lord, give them your words. Bless them now, I pray, in your mighty name. Amen. Have a great time. They like hard questions, so remember a hard one for them. Let's join together and sing our next hymn, 1072, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found. Let's join together.
Thank you.
Even though you're wearing masks, I could see your eyes smiling at that hymn. It was great. I could feel it. Awesome. So we're going to look at Romans 15, which is on page 1141. Romans 15. I'll give you the verses in a minute. 1141. And through his letter to the Romans, Paul gives encouragement to those that are strong in their faith to please other Christians before themselves so that the church can be unified. Christ came, and as we still think about Christ coming at Christmas, as we move towards thinking about Christ's death and resurrection at Easter, he came to fulfill God's promises to Israel and for the Gentiles, which is what Paul is starting to reveal today. Paul is satisfied, I like that word, satisfied with the faith and practice of the Roman Christians. But like all church leaders, he wants more. His work is taking the gospel to unreached regions where the Gentiles, and that's everyone that isn't a Jew, in part of the world, is completed. And so before he heads back to Jerusalem, he's got one more job to, sorry, he's going to go to Jerusalem and then he's going to come back and visit them in Rome. And so this morning on page 1141, we're going to look at verses 8 to 13, which hasn't got a heading in the NIV, but in the English Standard Version, it's Christ, the hope of Jews and Gentiles. Verses 8 to 13. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. And then his blessing, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. They're such fantastic words, aren't they, as we read them, as we remember for the Jews, as I say, Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promises, and in doing so through their lives that the Gentiles may come to know the hope. And he quotes many Old Testament prophecies there as he speaks, and that's why it's important that we know our entire Bible and not just the bits that don't cause us any harm or offence. And then as we get to the end, Paul prays a blessing of hope, joy and peace for the Roman readers, and that's what we'll ponder on shortly. First of all, we'll join together and sing number 473. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as our word has been read and now your word proclaimed, we may hear with hope and joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. So we too this morning are going to think about being messengers of hope. Are you feeling hopeful this morning? There's a few, but there's a lot, I like that. There's a lot of, yeah, a lot of infused, that's good. Perhaps I won't bother preaching then, we'll just talk about it. But if you remember, well, if you can remember what I, or some of what I was saying last week, for those of you that were here or have listened online, I commented that when we say Happy New Year, what do we add, if anything? Or do we just merrily go away around saying Happy New Year? What do we desire and pray for the person that we are hoping to bless? And last week I suggested that one that I'd received was, I hope your heart may be filled with God's peace. Did you think about that when you left? Or did you think, oh, she's gone, she's finished now, I'll go home? I've spoken about hope before, both in human terms and biblical terms. Do we fully understand it? Or do we get it all mixed up with our own selfish desires and attitudes of what we want rather than what we need? I think that we can all agree that we are hoping for the end of our current situation. Yes, yes, yes. I'm seeing nodding heads. That's good. I think the last 2 years, or nearly 2 years, have dragged on now, haven't they? And I think we're all a bit worn out by it. I must admit, sometimes I've enjoyed the peace and the isolation, and sometimes I haven't. But I'm hoping that it will be bringing about the beginning of something new. I don't know what that looks like, but it's important to take what we've learnt about ourselves, one another, and beyond, and step out in hopeful expectation of what God has got planned for us when we are ready to step forward in His way. Despite our current circumstances, some shared, some individual and personal, there is hope in the world. All hope is not lost, despite what the media tries to bombard us with on a daily basis. This is affirmed in our Bibles, and particularly in the passage that I read earlier, that our God is the God of hope. The word hope in the New Testament is from the Greek word elpis, which means expectation, trust, and confidence. It comes from the root word elpo, which means to anticipate with pleasure and to welcome. So even when we say hope, we kind of smile, but when you actually get into the nitty-gritty of what it actually means, I hope your smile gets even bigger. Someone once said, biblical hope is not just a desire for something good in the future, but rather it is a confident expectation that what we desire and what has been promised will surely come to pass. When that hope is abiding in our hearts, and when our desires are aligned with God's will and purposes, can you imagine what a difference the church could make in our community, our town, our country, our world? What do we think that we, God's church, should be doing? Now, I'm sure if I walked around and asked you, you'd all come back with all different answers. Or maybe not. I don't know. How does the unchurched, or those who have drifted away, recognize its purpose in today's society? Have you actually ever asked anyone what they think the church, it's not just here, the church universal, should be doing? Have you actually asked anyone? No? Well, that's the first question for your new year then. Go and ask someone, what do they think the church should be doing? And don't be intimidated by hostility and negativity, because that's what we're frightened of, isn't it? That if we ask a question, we're not quite sure what's going to come back at us. I did share a story once when we did a walk of witness for Easter when I was back in Wellingborough. There was a good group of us in the town centre, but there was also some people on the fringes and a very, very angry man who really didn't want us to be praising God in the town. And he made his point very clearly, not just to us as a group, but to us, to different people, individuals. And the thing is when someone's heart is that much of stone, the best thing you can do is to pray for them that God will give them a heart of flesh. So don't be intimidated by hostility and negativity. Pray that God will bring that person who needs to hear more about his hope to you, and that you would have the words. Because when God's church comes together in unity as one, then there'll be no need to ask questions, because we will know. Our role is to bring people hope. 1 Peter 3:15 reminds us, in your hearts, honour Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. We have a gospel of hope, a gospel that brings hope, a gospel of life and transformation. And primarily and uniquely to anything else that is on offer out there, a hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Many people see only a hopeless end, but with Jesus we can enjoy an endless hope. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:13, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And he goes on to say, as we know, the greatest of these is love. But within those three, hope is one of the three everlasting godly qualities. And finding them in ourselves can mark the beginning for someone else. Cardinal Ramiro Cantalamessa observed, don't ask me to say that again, they are like three sisters. Two of them are grown and the other is a small child. They go forward together, hand in hand, with the child hope in the middle. Looking at them, it would seem that the bigger ones are pulling the child, but it's the other way around. It's the little girl who is pulling the two bigger ones. It is hope that pulls faith and love. Without hope, everything would stop. What a beautiful picture. We've all done it, haven't we? Dragged a small child in the middle, whether they like it or not, and swung them around. And to think of faith, hope, and love in the same way, I think is a beautiful picture for us to remember. Paul's prayer for the Christians in Rome is often used in churches today as a blessing, as a closing blessing, and I've used it myself. It's a powerful statement about what God can do in the heart and mind of every believer who trusts in God. Paul makes this request of the God of hope, and that's a beautiful name for God that perhaps we use in our own prayers. He's the only lasting source of hope that we have for meaning of life, and in this life, but and for the life that is beyond death. Paul asks that the God of hope would fill those believers with joy and peace in believing, or as they trust in him. Hope is the link word from the previous verse. Joy and peace come from the trust in God, but such trust is finally the gift of God, because believers abound in hope only by his grace. Hope leads to faith. That's why hope is so important. Paul understands that as believers trust in God, Their faith will bring joy and peace to their hearts. And we need God's help to experience this daily too. Paul's final request is that they might have this joy and peace in believing, so that they may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that thought, abound in hope. Paul wants more for his readers. He's asking God to give them more than just that regular human hopefulness. He's asking for that supernatural, Holy Spirit-powered hopefulness. What an inspiring prayer to ask God for others and for ourselves. What more could we wish for other believers than to be filled with joy and peace and abounding in hope? That word abounding just gives us that picture, doesn't it, of overflowing with hope through the Holy Spirit. Faith releases hope, joy and peace in our lives. Doubt steals our joy and peace. Faith means trusting in the God of hope. Paul says in our last verse, verse 13, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The origin of hope is the God of hope. The reason for hope is Jesus. The source of hope in each one of us is the Holy Spirit. This hope is not daydreaming. It's rooted in what God has done for us and is doing in and through us. Previous to this section that we've just read, Paul helps us to see the different characteristics of the hope that Jesus brings to the world today. Towards the end of chapter 14, it says, "So then, let us make every effort to do what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." So there's that prayer, that hope for unity. And we know that that takes effort, because if we were always in agreement, we think that it would make for a really boring world. But Paul urges believers not to cause another to stumble. By being sensitive to our sisters and brothers in Christ and not offending them unnecessarily. Sometimes when we are feeling weary and worn down by life, it's easy to be unkind to one another, and particularly what we've been through over these last few years. But we have to remember that each one of us is struggling in different ways. Paul urges the church at Rome, and therefore by default us, in verse 2 of chapter 15, each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. This is not about being a people pleaser. Jesus and Paul's example shows us how to do this in a way that did not cause either to displease God. It says in 1 Corinthians, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." And then we find hope from our Bible. The purpose of our Bible, God's word, is to give hope. We read in verse 4, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." I don't know how many times I've already said hope this morning. Anybody keep an account? If you remember anything this morning, you're going to remember hope. It's through our Bibles that we know about Jesus and the hope that is in him. That's why we have to keep our hopes up by studying God's word regularly. Somebody wrote, "Be encouraged, friend. Hope was born in a manger, died on a cross, and rose again that we might have life abundant. While we wait for him to call us home, we press on in eager anticipation as we serve one another and share about the hope of an amazing destination." Faith makes all things possible. Love makes all things easy. Hope makes all things work. Do you feel like you need a bit more hope this morning? Yeah. And I think it's important that we acknowledge that, and that was part of our prayers and our honesty with God. Some of the things that I find work for me and that I've been encouraged to do is to spend time, as I was saying last week, focusing on God's promises. It's so easy, isn't it, to be distracted and run down and made weary by what's going on around us. But we have to spend time knowing and having in our hearts the promises that God has made to each one of us. If you remember last week, all God's promises are yes in Jesus. I shall keep advocating journals, write them down, because we forget. We forget how good God has been to us in the past. And then we congratulate ourselves on how well we've done, forgetting that actually we can do nothing except in God's strength. Perhaps get involved in something, helping others, engaging in relationship, being part of a community increases our sense of well-being. God created each one of us to make a difference. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. preached, "Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others?" And I think when we start to go beyond ourselves, we start to feel the hope that God has and gives each one of us. And try something new. Doesn't matter how old you are, it's never too late to take up something else. Because when you can focus your mind and attention on something different, then you can have hope. I love this. When we are exhausted, God offers a simple cure. Open your eyes. Gaze upon my beauty. See my power. Look to me for all you need. Jesus takes the dust of our lives, infuses it with his healing presence, and presses it into our eyes, saying, "Do you see anything?" We find balm for our exhaustion as we open our eyes to his goodness and hope in him. Hope encourages each one of us to change our perspective. Hope builds anticipation. Where there is hope, there is faith. And where there is faith, miracles happen. So let's pray that we see more miracles. Amen. Let's pray. God of hope, we thank you for your wonderful word and your promises and your inspiring word to each one of us. Lord, we commit ourselves to you in faith. And trust, Lord, in your promises that you will transform us and continue to transform us through the power of your Holy Spirit. For the time, Lord, when we feel exhausted and weary and where all hope seems lost, may we stand firm on your promises. Lord, I claim for each one of us your unchanging grace to change and transform us. Lord, thank you for all that you have done for us through Jesus Christ, your Son, and that we look forward to the day in hope when you will raise us with him to full and eternal life. May your Holy Spirit fill us today that we would overflow with hope. Lord, here in the power of Christ we stand. Amen. So let's join together and sing number 770, "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life?"
Thank you.
When we don't know what to say or are anxious, then we might want to say the right thing. Then we need to think about what God's word says. And so if you are willing, can you turn back to page 1142 and let's bless one another with Paul's blessing in verse 13. Page 1142, verse 13. And so we say together, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless you. Please be seated. And it is our church meeting tomorrow evening, and face coverings are still recovered by law within our building. So essential for communal gatherings. If you've got any apologies, then please give them to Michelle. But it'd be great if everyone could come and that we can start the new year together. Bless you. Thank you.